Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and back with us now, Stephen Dubner, host of Freakonomics Radio. Always good for ideas that make you stop and say, wait, really? This time, here's Stephen's big idea, ban tipping. It turns out tipping doesn't make much sense from an economics perspective, I think he will argue, and it may not really make much sense from a fairness perspective. Black people get tipped less, unattractive people get tipped less, people perceived as unattractive. All of our prejudices are reflected in how we tip. So a lot of smart people think that the best bet might be to ban it altogether and instead just raise the wage for servers, bellhops, and everybody. So hi, Stephen Dubner.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And I'll be giving you 15 to 20% extra in-depth questions for this interview.
I appreciate it.
Just because you seem like such a good guy. So before
and if I were better looking, I might get 25%.
That's right. Yeah. There you go. Well, you got to work on that. What do we know about tipping itself? How did the norms of tipping as we generally know them come to be?
Well, as a lot of WNYC listeners will know, because we have a lot of people here born elsewhere, not in America, and people who travel, norms are very variable. So there are some countries where tipping is not the norm for a restaurant bill and so on. So I think tipping is one of those amazing things because, A, it's big. It's $40 billion a year, part of our economy, so you can't just ignore it. On the other hand, there's a lot of kind of randomness that surrounds it. And in terms of how it got to be where it got, how it got to be where it is, like a lot of things, it evolves. It's almost an accident of history. Then we like to put a backstory on it and say, well, it got to be this way because of X, Y, and Z. I don't think it's so easy to say, but we do know what we have now, which is a system which, as you summarized pretty well, is a little bit chaotic, it's a little bit awkward, and it's probably unfair. I don't know if I would advocate banning it, although I think that is one option that is worth thinking about. Yeah.
So, listeners, we definitely want you in on this conversation. If you work for tips or if you work in an industry that relies on tips, how would you fix the system? Is the system broken? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Your ideas for how to fix tipping as tipper or tippy or anybody with a relationship economically to that, 212-433-9692. You say this is not necessarily your proposal, and maybe I was overframing it as your proposal to ban tipping. Who does propose it?
Well, so our podcast is built around and to be fair, it is called Should Tipping Be Banned? So we're raising the question. It's built around the research of a pretty well-known tipping scholar named Michael Lynn at Cornell who studied everything you could imagine about who gets tipped more and why, different situations, rich versus poor, race, da-da-da-da. And the most fascinating part of the interview with him when I said, you know, knowing what you know about tipping, what's one thing you would change about the way it's set up? And he said, well, I would probably ban it. I think it should be banned. I said, on what grounds? He said, well, on the grounds that it's discriminatory. So the data show very clearly that African Americans receive less in tips than whites. And so there is an argument to be made, a legal argument to be made, that as a protected class, African-American servers are getting less for doing the same work, and therefore the institution of tipping is inherently therefore unfair.
Let's go even a little deeper into that. And folks, are going to give you a preview of the Freakonomics podcast on this. So here's about a minute of an exchange between Stephen Dubner and that Cornell School of Hotel Management professor, Michael Lynn.
Let's start with attractiveness of the server.
Attractive waitresses get better tips than less attractive waitresses. Men's appearance, not so important.
Okay. And what about a waitress versus a waiter generally?
Hard to say. In general, I would say waiters get better tips from women than men. Waitresses get better tips from men than women.
And what about, let's say, among women, hair color? Blonde is better than brunette or red, or no?
Yes. Blondes get better tips than brunettes. Slender women get better tips than heavier women. Large-breasted women get better tips than smaller-breasted women. Surprisingly, at least in the studies I've done, women in their 30s get better tips than either younger or older women.
So a skinny, good-looking, big-breasted woman in her 30s is going to get big tips.
I would simply replace the word skinny with slender.
Slender. A slender, good-looking, big-breasted woman in her 30s gets big tips. Color me shocked, I have to say.
Yes.
All right. So I'm shocked to hear that we carry the prejudices that we have in the rest of our lives.
That's exactly right. The prejudice, the biases, the prejudices, the preference. I would almost use the word preferences rather than prejudices because so many of these are ingrained and we don't think about them. And I think most people do want to be fair. The fact is, if $40 billion were being spent on something else in our society, education, military, whatever it is, in such a haphazard way that gets distributed so kind of willy-nilly, you'd say, you know, we should probably think about a different way of doing it.
Former waitress Grace, you're on WNYC. Hi, Grace.
Hi. I work as a waitress and I know what tips mean, but I also work for the Department of Labor. The minimum wage for waitresses, et cetera, is lower than the minimum wage for everybody else. The employer is supposed to make sure that between your value of your tips and your meals, you met the higher minimum wage. Totally unfair. Everybody deserves a living wage.
Would you rather ban tips and have it all come out of wages?
I'd rather they got paid a decent wage and they didn't rely on tips. I'd rather they have a good wage, a wage that they could live on, can pay the rent, buy their groceries, go to a movie once in a while, that kind of thing.
Right.
In Cuba,
go ahead.
Get away with tips under Castro.
Say it again.
And everybody is supposedly getting a decent wage.
Right. Now, of course, some people do really well with tips.
Yeah, they do. And then the question becomes, well, if you do really well with tips, but you're working less hard than me, is that fair? So Grace's argument is basically this, right? So tips, there are other problems with tips we haven't mentioned, which is they're untaxed, essentially, or self-reported, right? So that's $40 billion, much of it in cash, which is a big potential, unpaid tax bill. But when you talk about banning tipping, you don't just replace that with the low wage that waitresses and waiters get. You factor that into the price. So there is a restaurant we talk about in the podcast, and there's a way of doing this, where instead of the 15 to 20 to 25% optional, you build in the service charge. Some very high-end restaurants do this now, but let's say it went all the way down to the hotel clerks and the waitresses at a diner, where instead of getting $2.50 or $2.15 an hour plus tips, you're paid a flat wage, and that money that customers are already paying just gets baked into the price. So it's basically added as a price.
Here's a suggestion to solve the prejudice, or what did you call it, preference problem for slender, big-breasted female waitresses in their 30s. Peter on the Upper West Side. You're on the air. Hi, Peter.
Hi. So my idea is, and I'm sure this can't be that new, why not just everybody pool their tips and nobody benefits or loses from any of their attributes?
Right. Pooling happens, and some places swear by it. It, however, creates a different set of problems, a variety of them. Some of them are who gets included in the pool. So then does the back, is it only the front of the room that gets included in the pool? But then also there's the notion of the tipping. The possibility of tipping would seem to be a strong incentive for service. So if it's pooled, does that mean that I slack off and let everybody else carry?
And that's the first time that service quality has been mentioned in this conversation. And am I wrong to assume that all these variances based on people's preferences or prejudices, are true, but tips still vary more by the quality of service you get than any other variable?
You are right to assume that because you're an intelligent, rational person. However, your assumption is wrong. So it turns out that the tipping literature shows us that there's very little correlation between quality of service and tipping, which I find is very, very surprising.
Jimmy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey there. Thanks for a great topic. It's really interesting. I would just like to echo the thought that you guys just expressed. My girlfriend is Japanese, and we recently were traveling there. And she's always talked about how it's so uncomfortable to have to put up with the whole tipping culture in the United States. And I've always argued that tipping is bound to make service better. It's preposterous to think that these people would have to work and not be rewarded with tips. And she actually convinced me that we shouldn't have tipping. I know that'll never change, but the argument that tipping makes service quality better is really suspect. I think I discovered people working in countries where there's no tipping don't do any less work. They aren't any lazier. They do a great job. They just take pride in their mm-hmm. in their work, and they're compensated by their employer. Sure, the price is baked into it, but it's not that much of a difference to the customer.
Jimmy, thank you very much. And, of course, there is a tremendous amount of international variation here. We are a tipping country. There are some countries that are, you know, developed countries, same kind of restaurants we have, but they're not tipping countries.
Right. And Jimmy mentioned Japan. Japan is a place where tipping is considered not only déclassé but an insult. We get into things like, why do you tip a baggage handler at an airport but not, let's say, a flight attendant? If you ever try to tip a – I tried it for a while as an experiment, tip a flight attendant. They were shocked and horrified. They kind of laughed it off. But the idea is that, wait a minute, I have a job that pays me well. I don't need your tip. You shouldn't be tipping me. Country-to-country variance is huge also, and we report in the podcast that there's a strong correlation between tipping and corruption. So countries that typically rely on a lot of tips tend to be more corrupt. The U.S. is an outlier, however.
Cash economy in
cash
all ways.
Cash economy and tip as bribe, basically, is what we're talking about.
So we've talked about how tips will vary depending on who the server is. How about who the servee is? Let's go back to the piece. You spoke to a bunch of servers and baristas, even some strippers, I understand. And here's a little bit of wisdom that they've accrued about the customer.
You know what's really interesting is if you see somebody smoking, they're usually going to be a good tipper.
The older, the fatter, the better.
You can get a guy that looks like a bum that turns out to be a super guy, and you get a guy that looks like a millionaire and he won't tip you a thing, you know.
Black card holders from the American Express, 10 to 15%. I understand you got rich by being frugal, but that doesn't fly. And look at their shoes.
The shoes?
The shoes. Shoes can say a lot.
So that's the unscientific portion of our show where we ask people. And what's interesting is the minute you kind of look at some of these scientifically, you see they fall apart. So, for instance, wealthy people do tip more than poorer people, even though if you ask a lot of servers, they'll say, oh, no, poorer people tend to tip, you know, on average better. Uh-huh. And I think one reason why we think that is because the anomalies stick in our mind. The one really wealthy customer who stiffed you, you remember that. But the fact is that there is a science to tipping, and we try to get at some of it, but it's a big topic.
Ian in Brooklyn, you used to be a server, right?
Amongst other things in the restaurant industry. Just wanted to make two quick points regarding the conversation. New York being particularly restaurant-driven, I don't think it's going to improve customer service, regardless of what that means for corruption. I think the diversity in New York restaurants is partially due to the fact that people are driven so hard to ensure prompt service, i.e. tips. Having worked in Europe, also in that industry, I could, in my firsthand experience, I would say the care is not there nearly as much because you're already guaranteed the wage. You don't really care if you serve five versus six drinks.
So Ian's disagreeing, and Ian, thank you, and we're just about out of time. So we could get a conversation going between you guys about whether service really does improve from the incentive of tips.
I wish I knew for sure. We did our best. But, yeah, it's a big and fungible topic, frankly.
Always a good brain ride when Stephen Dubner comes along. His latest Freakonomics Radio podcast is all about tipping. Steve, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.